So let's pray. God of Christmas, God of Good Friday, of Easter, of Pentecost, and of ordinary time, God of resurrection and life, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems our thoughts and our words. Amen. Mennonite pastor Melissa Flora-Bixler opened her first book with a poem. The book is called Fire by Night, Finding God in the Pages of the Old Testament. And the poem is called A Prayer for Readers of the Old Testament. And I want to read this poetic prayer for us this morning as we continue to celebrate Pentecost. There'll be a copy of this prayer up on the screen if you would like to receive it with your eyes as well as your ears. So here's a poetic prayer. Perhaps you do not know how much you need God to come as a woman in labor, a birthing spirit hovering over creation, holding within her the memory of you nursing at her breast, or to surprise you in ordinary places, searching in the fields for sheep, uprooting his garden, keeping her bees, a bird roosting in a tree. If you look closely as you walk, if you pay attention with your eye on the book and the world, the blessing will be as near as dirt, as close as the air, a sprouting tree, a rushing fountain. And if you rage or fear, if tears are your bread, God is there in the middle of it, a steaming pot, a raging she-bear, a smoking kiln, or perhaps fire, always fire. Through this poem and through the meditation she offers in her book, Pastor Flora Bixler invites people to encounter the God who made covenant with Abram and Sarah so many years ago. She invites us to meet the God who cries out like a woman in labor, who tends to the creation the way the gardener tends to the soil, and who shows up in the world as fire, always fire. Throughout the Old Testament, the God of Abram and Sarah repeatedly appears as and in fire. This is particularly true in the book of Exodus. In Exodus, God's fiery presence is everywhere. When Moses was wandering up the side of Mount Horeb, God's flame caused him to turn aside and to take a closer look. When the Hebrew people fled Egypt, God appeared to them as a pillar of cloud and as a pillar of fire and led them to the Red Sea. And when the people gathered on Mount Sinai to make covenant with God, Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, says that Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Fire that draws people in. Fire that guides people to liberation and freedom. Fire that declares God's covenant with all of creation. God's presence is fire. Always fire. And not just in Exodus, but in 1 Kings chapter 18, just a chapter before that famous place in Scripture where God shows up in silence, God shows up in fire. So much fire that it completely consumes Elijah's sacrifice and all of the wood and the stones that held that sacrifice in place. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet's sense of hesitation and unworthiness are burned away by God's fire. During a glorious vision of God's presence, a seraph took a glowing coal from the Lord's altar, the very fire of God's presence, and touched it to Isaiah's lips and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." When the fire of God touched Isaiah, It created grace. It reminded him that he belonged in God's presence. And then in the book of Daniel, God meets Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a different type of fire. God meets them when they're thrown into the violent flames of empire. King Nebuchadnezzar had his soldiers bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into a raging furnace. But when King Nebuchadnezzar looked into those flames, he saw four people walking around. He saw God's fiery presence in the furnace, protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, protecting them from the king's rage. Fire that responds to prayer. Fire that purifies for the sake of reminding us that we belong, we can be at home in God's presence. Fire that keeps the raging flames of empire from having power over us. God's presence is fire. Always fire. We see this throughout the Old Testament. We see God's fire also in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the one whom John the Baptist declared would not simply baptize with water, but would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we see God's fire in our scripture passage this morning. We see God's holy flame perform an act of joining that gave birth to the church. And then in Philippians chapter 4, we hear Paul encourage the followers of Jesus to be of the same mind in the Lord. We hear Paul encourage followers of Jesus to share in the kind of joining that the fire of Pentecost makes possible. So our first passage of scripture this morning, it tells and retells the story of Pentecost. I was going to wear Pentecost clothes, but I realized I don't have bright colors, so I went with the charcoal-colored pants, so I figured that we're covered. Fire comes in a lot of different colors. So on that faithful day when God's presence came as fire, all of the disciples were there in one place. And as they were sharing the day together, the violent rush of a mighty wind suddenly kicked up. Imagine that it sounded like a mountain wind when it whips through the pass and shakes the leaves on every tree. I imagine it being like one of those wind gusts that's so loud you can feel it. And when the loud rush of wind filled the house where the disciples were staying, fire suddenly appeared in the middle of the room. Not around the edges, or across the street or through the window, but there, in the middle, where everyone could see, where everyone could feel it. And then as the wind flailed their hair all around, the fire began to move. A terrifying sight, if you ask me. It divided into what looked like tongues. And a tongue of fire moved from the middle of the room, and it rested on each person there. It touched them, like the burning coal once touched Isaiah's lips, and it transformed their lives. According to the writer of Acts, all of the people there were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. On Pentecost, the fire of God's Holy Spirit caused followers of Jesus to speak in other languages. She joined the disciples to other people through language. This is the miracle of Pentecost that continues to burn in the lives of followers of Jesus today. God's life, God's fire causes people, causes you and me and our siblings throughout creation to speak in other languages. God's life immerses us in the lives and the cultures and the desires of other people, not so that we can be strategically positioned to convince them to be more like us. That's not it at all. There's nothing colonial about the holy fire of Pentecost. No, on Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit immerses followers of Jesus in the languages and the lives of other people, because God loves joining. God loves creating relationships that are just and mutual and life-giving. God has always loved this. God has always been fire. And God's burning love has always given birth to relationships that cultivate peace and shalom for everyone. And I say everyone because the disciples were not the only people there on Pentecost. There were others, so many others. The crowd of people who flooded the streets that day was filled with people from every region of the known world. There were people from places that we would call Iraq, that we would call Iran, Turkey, Greece, Rome, the two P's, as Fred so wonderfully said, but also places like Libya, places like Egypt. This crowd of people who came from every nation under the sun were confused. They were amazed and they were astonished, not just because they heard a loud sound, but because when they flooded the streets to see what had happened, they saw a bunch of Galileans speaking in every language imaginable. Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? They asked one another. How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? It's a beautiful scene. The people in the crowd did not hear in a universal language that they mystically understood. No, instead, each person heard their native language being spoken. They heard the familiar, well-worn words that they spoke when they sat down for a meal with someone that they loved, that they spoke when they told their kids stories about God, about the land, about their people. When the fire of God's Holy Spirit appeared on the day of Pentecost, she joined people together. Not by erasing the languages that made them different, but by immersing them in the intimate languages of other people. God's fire joined people together by immersing them in the languages of others. God's fire joined people together by causing them to speak in one another's familiar, well-worn words. Not for the sake of control, but for the sake of being with. Fire that burns away the borders we use to carve up the world. Fire that joins us to people across the street, across the globe. The good news of Pentecost is fire. It's always fire. And so when we turn to our second passage of Scripture this morning, we need not be too surprised when we hear Paul encourage followers of Jesus to be of the same mind in the Lord. When Paul urged Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind, he was not urging them to think the exact same thoughts. Being of the same mind does not mean mentally agreeing to all of the same subpoints. Instead, being of the same mind in the Lord means being caught up in the fires of God's presence. If Euodia and Syntyche learned to be of the same mind in the Lord, they would learn to treat each other as God's beloved. They would learn to speak in the other person's familiar words. They would interrupt and rearrange abusive power dynamics. They would welcome each other's gifts. They would recognize that they have gifts of their own to share. In short, if they learn to be of the same mind in the Lord, they would learn to live in ways that cultivate God's shalom, God's peace. They would share in God's presence that is fire, always fire. And what was true for followers of Jesus in Philippi is true for us today. Being of the same mind in the Lord involves living the good news of Pentecost. Being of the same mind in the Lord involves learning to speak each other's languages in love. It involves interrupting and rearranging power dynamics that prop up abuse. It involves welcoming each other's gifts. It involves recognizing that you have gifts of your own to share. In short, when we learn to be of the same mind in the Lord, we learn to live in ways that cultivate God's deep peace. We learn that God's presence is fire. Always, always fire. Let's pray.